You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 128. Now, as most of you who've been listening to the show for a while know, the usual format, it's going to be different today, the usual format is that we have one guest on the show, and that one guest brings one dream, and we spend the whole hour looking at that dream, interpreting it, understanding it, relating it to the guest's life, and a lot more besides. One guest, one dream. Today we're doing something a little bit different, and we still have a guest, and the guest is Belinda Reed. And Belinda Reed is the founder of The Day Brightener and also of the Servant Hearts blog. Now, Belinda lives in Brisbane, as I do, Brisbane, Australia. And what's happened recently in Brisbane is that the public service is suddenly under threat, real threat, of the loss of about 20,000 jobs. Now, these are cutbacks, and these are cutbacks to permanent jobs or to very long-term contract jobs, kind of jobs where people have felt very secure about traditionally. And Belinda has noticed that there's obviously a lot of stress and anxiety throughout the public service in Brisbane with people that don't know whether they're going to keep their job, lose their job. And one of the things that she did was set up the Servant Hearts blog to give people positive support and help emotionally, mentally and spiritually as they go through these difficult times, which she is indeed also going through. And she contacted me because, as you would imagine, going through those circumstances, a lot of people are experiencing not only broken and bad sleep, but also unusual dreams, bad dreams, nightmares, which is only compounding the anxiety and worry that people have. So I decided to invite Belinda onto the show and to discuss this and to bring some dreams that she's collected around her workplace for us to talk about so that we can look at the kind of dreams that you might be experiencing around the world if you're in tricky circumstances with your job, not knowing if you've got it, losing it, hanging on to it. And just getting some insight and help. So I won't say any more. I'm just about to bring Belinda onto the show, but of course I will direct you to my website. So if you'd like to know a little bit more about me, what I do, look at my free resources, buy my books, consult me, whatever. The website is www.dream.net.au and the blog is www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or you can find me on Facebook, and of course you can find The Dream Show on iTunes. So that's the business out of the way. Now I'm going to bring Belinda Reed into the show. Welcome to The Dream Show, Belinda. How are you this evening?
Oh, well, thank you, Jane Theresa. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Look, I was really excited to invite you because you do live in the same city as me in Brisbane, and I have been watching the news and the media and watching what's happening, and I noticed that you are doing something very, very special for very many people that are quite worried in Brisbane at the moment. And would you like to tell me a little bit about it? Because for people listening in, this does lead to dreams, but just listen to the story first. Belinda, tell us all what's happening.
Okay, so many of you may have heard in the Queensland Public Service, there's a need driven, of course, from the Premier to cut public service jobs, very much related to bringing the budget back in line. Now, I don't have any political views on whether that's appropriate or not, but what I do see very much is a lot of very worried people in the workforce. I think we may be talking about 20,000 or so is the number that's been bandied around, that we have too many public service. And what I see every day is people in my own departments, friends, colleagues, and even myself, very, very uncertain about whether they will have jobs in the future. Everyone's just, you know, walking on thin ice at the moment, waiting to be told about whether they've been made redundant. Certainly all the temporary and contract staff have been axed from our departments. And now we're just waiting personally to find out whether we're next. So you can imagine in all of these workforces, the morale is so low, there's a lot of fear and uncertainty around the workforce, and I found the only way that I could deal with it is to bring some of the resources that I'd gathered during my days in the Day Brightener blog to create a blog called The Servant Hearts. And what that is a set of resources for people about how to deal with change, about how to deal with fear, about thinking about great work opportunities for the future if they take another path. So just a whole lot of ideas and thoughts and inspiration for people as they go through this troubling time.
And that's absolutely fantastic. And I know you've had a lot of recognition and media recognition for what you've set up there and for the help that you're giving people, which is fantastic. And I know, because I was chatting to you earlier, that you said a lot of people are, as I'm sure all our listeners could imagine, suffering from, you know, bad sleeps, bad nights of sleeps, bad dreams, which are only adding to the anxiety, because there's nothing worse than turning up the next day at work when you're unsure about your job and, I guess, trying to keep tabs on your performance and everything, and you have not slept well, you've got a bad dream that is really worrying you, and, you know, things are just compounding. And you mentioned to me that quite a few people had been mentioning their dreams to you because they knew that you were interested in dreams.
Indeed, yes, and you're so right. It just becomes layers and layers of negativity. You begin worrying, therefore you don't sleep well. You might have a bad dream, which just causes more worry. You enter the workplace with all of your friends, you know, in very bad moods and concerned as well. So you take on a lot of their concern as well as your own. So it just ends up layers and layers, and a lot of different units are trying to provide resources for people, but there's nowhere really consistent with a lot of inspiration and help that covers every area of people's lives that they can turn to. So I'm just hoping that this might be a good resource for them.
Oh, I've looked at it and I'm absolutely certain that it is, and of course it's something that you're adding to and building all the time, which is wonderful. And I think, you know, just before we move on to the dream segment, I think I really want to emphasise what you have said there, that this isn't a situation where some jobs may be going, where some people are turning up thinking, oh, I'm safe, I'm okay. These are jobs across the board where nobody knows if they're staying, getting a redundancy, going. And, you know, to repeat, but just to emphasise what you said there, everyone in the office is in the same situation. Yes. Everyone is understanding of each other's anxiety and fear, but at the same time, that negativity is easy to feed and brew upon, and probably also contribute to people's dreams as they're processing all of this stuff that they're having to deal with every day as well.
Absolutely. And that's why I was absolutely so thrilled, Jane Teresa, for you to contribute your article to this, but also to do this podcast, because there may be things brewing in people's dreams that they could really try and get a better awareness and insight of, that may really open some doors and awareness for them about how they're dealing with change and how they're dealing with this horrible situation, and help them propel through it in a really positive way.
That's really beautiful, and I particularly love the way that you're really emphasising the awareness there, Belinda. And I think because obviously quite a lot of the public servants in Brisbane are going to be listening to this podcast, in addition to our usual audience who already know quite a lot about dreams and how they work, I think before we move on to listen to some of the dream themes that you've collected from people around work, I think I might just do a very, very quick summary of the basics of dreams so that people can understand. So basically what happens is that as we go to sleep, our dreaming mind and our dreaming brain process the last 24 to 48 hours of our experiences. That's our conscious experiences, the ones we were aware of at the time, and our unconscious experiences, you know, the little mind chatter and the little observations that we make that don't actually jump up and hit our conscious mind. So the point of dreaming is really to process and assimilate your experiences of the last 1 to 2 days in an attempt to make sense of your life and your world. And the idea is that you wake up kind of with a hard drive, you know, updated and reprogrammed, and you wake up and, okay, I think I know what life is about now, you know, until another day's worth of experience. And then you wake up, okay, now I know what life is about. And what we're each doing individually is dreaming our way to our individual perceptions and understandings of what life is about. Whatever it's about, none of us really get it. We all live with our illusions of what life is about. And one of the lovely things about being able to look into your dreams when you understand how to analyze and interpret them is that what you're getting is a window into a person's mindset. So somebody like me who's a professional dream analyst can look at a dream and say, no, look, your dreaming brain is processing your experiences of the last 2 days, and I can see by the way that the dream is progressing that you process your experiences in a certain way which are unique to you, and I can see from this that you probably have an unconscious belief that da-da-da-da-da, whatever, and this is affecting the way that you are responding in the world. So if you would like to maybe have a better experience of life or be able to process life in a way which is less stressful, these are just two examples, then let's have a look at those unconscious beliefs that may be making life a bit difficult for you, and let's reprogram them using exercises that I call dream alchemy techniques, so that we reprogram unconscious beliefs that have maybe been with us for a long, 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 long time into beliefs that work with us to give us a smoother life journey, whether that's dealing with job loss or keeping a job or whatever. Instead of your vision and understanding of the world being clouded by unconscious beliefs that aren't working for you. So in a nutshell, I'm sorry, it was a very big nutshell. That's what dreaming and dream analysis is about. So when you say, Belinda, when you said so beautifully there that you know, you're hoping that dreams can help people have more awareness of how they're handling life, for our new listeners, that's how it works. You understand through your dreams, your mindset, and that gives you a greater awareness of how you, as the unique and wonderful person that you are processing the experiences that you're having at the moment, and how sometimes maybe if you could shift the way that you're processing them, it all might be just a little bit less stressful. So, awareness. Belinda, I know you've been collecting dreams. Let's have a look at some of them.
Okay, the first one is from one of my wonderful Facebook subscribers, and she had some very bad news the day before this dream with regards to her contract and her job. So in this dream, she was actually chopping off her hair in front of the family, in front of her family. She didn't want to do it, but she couldn't stop chopping.
Okay. Do you know at all, because you know this woman, whether the family was her, like her nuclear family, her own children and family that she lives with, or whether it was her, like, mum and dad type family?
I don't know the details.
Okay. That's all right. Everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer. So even though it appears to be like, oh, there's me and there's my family in this dream, it's really all about the dreamer. And asking questions like that that I would normally ask directly of the dreamer to get more clarity, you just give a bit more information. But because she's got the family involved there, we know that her dream was processing feelings about not just about herself, but her feelings about her family as well, and probably processing her ideas and values about family. So there's, you know, just putting that to one side. It's interesting because I was listening to you say they're chopping her hair, and at first I started to think, oh, cutting the hair, this is cuts, you know, this is a straight dream pun on getting a cut from your job, you know, being cut out and having to cut back on expenses. You know, you could see cutting back the hair as cutting back, and her dream being about, oh, I'm going to have to cut back on something to do with the family. But because I was listening carefully, even though that was a picture I was getting, I noticed that she didn't say cut, she said chop. And she also said, I really didn't want to do this. So when you think cutting is something, you go, all right, with hair, I'll cut this bit, and if I cut this bit, and it might look quite nice. Chopping is random, kind of chop, 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 chop. I don't want to do this, but chop, chop, chop. When you chop hair, you don't get a lovely hairstyle at the end. You see where I'm coming? So there's this feeling in a dream that she's having to chop something that she doesn't want to do, and it's going to probably end up with something that she doesn't want. Whereas you might think, if she's feeling, oh, I've got to make cuts, whether they're financial cuts or cuts around my family values, you know, these kind of things, you would hope that in that situation where you lose your job, you might be thinking, maybe there's cuts to make, but maybe I can make them in a way which still gives us a nice kind of, gives me something that I can work with, something I feel comfortable with. Whereas this feeling of chop, 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 and I really don't like what I'm doing is more like a knee-jerk response. So she may have been processing feelings of, overreacting, although, you know, I mean, of course, it's a terrible thing to happen, but overreacting and maybe thinking of making quick decisions that in the end are probably not going to serve her well. Now, I'd also, if I was speaking to her, Belinda, want to say to her, I'd ask her questions to determine what a hair means to her. So, for example, because I don't know that, you know, she may have a particular hairstyle that she associates with the job that she's got, in which case the dream may be about, right, well, I'm getting rid of that image. I don't want to do this, but I'm getting rid of that. Or it might be that her hair represents something that's her freedom, you know, or her beauty, or her unique self, or everybody knows me from my hair, or something that she's been working on. Maybe it's very long, she's been working on for a long time and is very proud of it. It may represent pride. It could represent all kinds of things. I would need to ask her about that. But a dream is suggesting that whatever her hair represents to her, let's say it's pride on something she's worked a long time growing, then the dream is then, oh, I've got to get rid of this. I've got to chop this. I don't want to do this. And you could say that pride might be around her job or her position in society because of her job. And there's that feeling, I don't have the job anymore. I'm losing the pride and what I've put into for so long. You know, on the other hand, her hair may be her feeling of her personal identity. And of course, that can be a feeling of crisis for people around lose the job. Oh dear, am I losing my identity? Chop, 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 I've got to get rid of that, I've got to make changes. So I would need to ask her to get that certain, but the bottom line that I feel from a dream is quick knee-jerk responses. Does that make sense to you, Belinda?
Oh, look, absolutely. And the word chopping was very distinct in there too, and tends to, you know, get that lack of control around things as well, rather than precision. You're right, that kind of knee-jerk chop.
That's right. And that must be, you know, because losing a job, even when, you know, some of the 20,000 people are sitting not knowing whether they're going to lose it or not, and maybe sitting there for a day, a week, 2 months, 3 months, a year, who knows how long they've got to wait. You think you would have time to kind of get your head around this and get ready. But of course, when it happens, head and hair, I just noticed too. But of course, when it happens, our primal instinct is emotional. Our first response is emotional. And that can therefore be that, you know, knee-jerk response. And, you know, one of the lovely things that you're doing, Belinda, is feeding and supplying information and tools and examples through your blog to help people prepare ahead of time, whether they're keeping or whether they're losing their job, so that they don't respond with that emotional knee-jerk, but they begin to have some, you know, even some wonderful positive possibilities. Even maybe if I do get cut from my job, maybe at last I can do something I really wanted to do. Rather than just chop everything randomly, there's maybe symbolised by a hairstyle, something that I'd actually quite like to create here.
That's a wonderful visual image of that, Jane Teresa.
And that's an interesting point, the visual image, isn't it? Because when we think about dreams, most people say, oh, yeah, dreams. Well, and then they go on to paint a picture. It's all visual. And then you say to them, well, what other senses are in your dream? And they go, oh, well, of course, there's speech, because I hear people speak. And maybe now I think about it, I might hear a car engine or a bird cry. And then you think, well, you know, what other senses do you touch? And most people will say, sometimes I feel touch, sometimes I feel taste, sometimes I feel smell. But on the whole, the primary image is visual. And so when you say, oh, that's an interesting visual, you know, basically giving a metaphor of how you cut your hair and how quickly and how carefully you cut your hair being a kind of metaphor for how you respond to being cut from your job, is actually a powerful thing. And that's part of the whole dream alchemy practices that I give people. So we take a dream, you know, dreams, you could look at dreams like that one as kind of being a metaphor. Our dreams are the left-hand logical part of our brain is really very, very deep asleep when we're dreaming, which is why our dreams appear to be so random, surreal and weird. So it's like our right brain trying to go, let me paint a picture of what I'm trying to process about the last couple of days. So, like, you know, let's make it a bit surreal or vivid. It kind of looks and feels like this. And there's a visual of the dream. And in doing that, most dreams will actually give you kind of like a metaphor or an analogy for what you're feeling. And this lovely lady's dream gave her the metaphor of a haircut and how to do or how not to do it. So that what I then do is move to the second stage. Once I've worked with a person and really, you know, got to help that person and ask questions, and for me to help verify how that metaphor actually works with how she's processing this job loss and what, you know, what results she'd like to have, I basically, through the Dream Alchemy, take that metaphor and switch the metaphor. So if in discussion with her, guided by, you know, your own input there, Belinda, we might decide to rerun the dream while she's awake and say to her, now look, while you're awake, let's just do that again. Imagine there you are with your hair as it is in front of the family, and you're about to chop it off, and you think no, and you visualize yourself getting a very delicate, beautiful, oh, let's make them diamond studded gold pair of scissors, and a beautiful diamond studded solid silver comb, and let's just take a little lock of hair and let's just snip and cut and color and whatever, and produce in the visualization the most beautiful haircut, even more beautiful than you had before, even though that seems to be quite amazing because you're already happy with the hair you've got. But let's just imagine that you create something of a hairstyle that you've never really pictured before, that is far superior and far better and really makes you feel wonderful going out with this hairstyle. And so I'd be getting this person to do this visualization, which is essentially a transformation of the dream. Now, that seems very simple. It's a lot of fun to do. And, you know, consciously and analytically, it can be, well, that's a bit weird. But what it's actually doing is it's reprogramming the person's unconscious mind, because it's the unconscious mind that comes up with that dream metaphor. Oh, what about, chopping the hair? So when you go through this visualization, you're communicating directly with your unconscious mind and going, you know, that chopping the hair thing, that was the best way that you could describe what you're going through. Well, let's change the metaphor. And what happens by keep doing this visualization, and I'd love this lady when she's listening to this to adapt this to how she feels about a dream and do something like this, is that what happens is that strangely, as you do this visualization over and over again for a couple of weeks, you begin to notice that you feel differently about that situation. You may respond differently at work or at home. You may suddenly have visions of what you'd actually like to do, or what kind of job you'd like to apply to, or manner of things, but you just subtly notice, oh, that's really weird, I just responded differently to how I would normally respond, or I'm feeling kind of less stressed, or I actually feel happy, how come, that's really weird. And this is coming from reprogramming the person's mindset so that they begin to process even news that they were anxious and didn't want to get, begin to process it in a way that actually works, ultimately gives them an opportunity and a better way of dealing with it. Does that make sense to you, Belinda, listening in?
Oh, look, absolutely. I just remember back, Jane Teresa, from one of my fantastic sessions with yourself when I had a hair as part of my dream thing. And the hair alchemies were some of the most fun that I've ever done. They were wonderful.
That's good.
Really wonderful. And very transformative. Very energetic and very transformative.
That's one I'd actually forgotten. I do remember a lot of the work I did with you and a lot of the dreams. I'd actually forgotten there was a hair one in there too. That's lovely. Now, I know you've collected some more, Belinda. So what else have you got there from your colleagues?
Well, for another person, their dream theme was being about being evicted from a hotel room because they didn't check out in time, but they had too many things to pack and they were in a panic and no one was helping.
Oh, that's... You'll hear me say that's wonderful. I don't mean the dream or the situation, but isn't that a wonderful metaphor for all of this?
Indeed, the sense of panic, I think, for everyone.
That's right. You know, you've used your words, obviously, for somebody else's dream, or you've got them there in front of you, but that person, the sense of eviction. So, you know, we know straight away that how she's processing her feelings about job loss. We don't know whether she's still got her job, whether she's lost her job, and almost that is irrelevant, because it's not about that. It's about looking at the mindset given the anxiety. So that person, whether or not she's lost her job or whether she's just knows that it's hanging there and she doesn't know which way it's going to fall, we're looking at her mindset around that issue, because clearly it's an issue at work that everyone's very aware of, and as they all go to sleep at night, they're dreaming and processing the what ifs. What if I lost my job? What if I kept it? How do I feel about this? And, you know, so in many ways she's processing that feeling of how I feel about jobless, if it has occurred to me or if it's going to occur to me, is it feels that I am just not in control of this at all. It feels like an eviction. And the other part of it, so she's not got this feeling of it's something that will be managed or something that she can manage gradually. It's going to feel like something that she has no empowerment over whatsoever. Now, it may be true, and it is true, of course, that we don't have empowerment about whether we're going to have to receive a redundancy, but we ideally do have empowerment about how we respond to that and how we act after that. So this dream has a sense of not having empowerment, and as she says, a feeling of I didn't check out properly, suggesting she's feeling, maybe she's at work even now thinking, oh, what would I have to do to keep my job, what would I have to do to lose it, this is the checkout. And she's feeling in the dream, I'm not ready yet, I haven't done the checkout. And even though I'm not ready, in that unreadiness, I just feel like, even if I've still got the job, I feel like I'm being evicted. And of course, the can't pack everything, that's got that sense of, not only physically, what would I have to pack and take with me? It's never really about the physical things. We get bogged down and we 99% think it's all about the physical, but it's not about the physical. It's about the emotional, it's about the mental, it's about the spiritual, it's about the whole meaningfulness of the whole thing. And so this thing about not being able to pack, it's really, okay, well, you've got a job, or maybe you've lost a job, maybe you've got a job and you're anxious about whether you're going to keep the job or lose it, but let's look about what you're carrying around this. What is the baggage around this? Well, maybe there's extra things about your job that are weighing you down that you could maybe pack away right now, even if you're going to keep your job. Maybe there's issues around it that can be packed and sorted and cleared and decluttered. And maybe even that will keep you your job. Who knows? But there's that feeling in this dream of overwhelm of, I just can't handle all the things that I need to sort out mentally, physically, spiritually about this. Before we move on to an alchemy, and although I'm not talking to the actual person, is this making sense to you, Belinda, or do you see anything else in this one too?
It's certainly making a lot of sense for me and a lot of my friends as well, just that sense of powerlessness and not being prepared are probably two emotions that very much run with it, given it's all happening so quickly. Yes, a sense of powerlessness, being told rather than participating in these decisions, not being ready, you know, to either stay or go, and also the baggage about remaining as well when other people go, the whole mental guilt around that and preparing for that as well are big issues.
These are huge, and you know, from what you've said there, it makes me think that this person is one who hasn't heard yet and is maybe looking at all of those issues. And I think it's important also to just let our worldwide listeners know here too that this, just to re-emphasize, this is public sector jobs you're talking about here. So it's not like in the private sector where these days everyone knows, you know, you've got bits of paper, but everyone knows that, oh, could all change next week. The public sector is where you either have a permanent job that has traditionally been permanent, or you have very long-term contracts, 3-4 years, that have traditionally always played themselves out. So this is really, you know, this is really shock value that people are dealing with at the moment, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So the alchemy side of that, and building on what you've said there, Belinda, would be, you know, giving people the opportunity to look at, ahead of time, to look at particularly the emotional baggage. And as you've described it there, you know, there's even baggage for the, what if I keep my job, am I going to feel guilty? You know, all the things around that as well. And, you know, in the sense of feeling unprepared, that's that sense of maybe being able to prepare ahead. How would I deal with the baggage if I kept the job? How would I deal with the baggage if I lost the job? What do I want to hang on to? What do I want to let go of? What do I really feel? This has really given me an interesting insight into how I feel about my job, about keeping it, about losing it. And, you know, apart from the financial thing about the job and that, to actually turn this on itself as an opportunity, you know, for each person to know themselves better and begin to make changes that will be significant and positive, whether they keep their job or lose it. Mm. And the other thing that struck me there is that when we're dealing with those big issues, like you said about, like we both said about not being empowered here, not having any empowerment, not even having, as you said, any participation in the process of deciding whether you want to stay or go or who goes, that sense of powerlessness, I would guess, for a lot of people, might show up in their dreams, where their dreams introduce things from their past. So they might have parents or teachers from their past, maybe a childhood home, maybe an ex-relationship from the past, any symbol from the past that, even though our dreams are processing the last 24 to 48 hours, in that processing, the dreaming brain is going, oh, look, you know that experience you had today? That was just like that experience you had in that relationship back then. Or it was just like you felt at school when you had no power whatsoever about whatever. Or it was just like when you lived in that childhood home and maybe your father didn't allow you to feel power. Or it was just like when I was in that relationship and I always felt disempowered. So, you know, dreams can, although they are actually always about processing the last 2 days, things can come into that dreams as kind of signposts of your mindset saying, yep, that's like back then. Yep, that's like back then. And in a sense, what we often do in our dreams, sadly, is keep concretizing the past. So we go, yeah, that's like back then, that must be true. Yeah, that's like, that must be true. I must be a person that doesn't have empowerment. Yes, that's true, that's true. Rarely do our dreams show us going, you know, that may be what I felt yesterday, maybe like what I felt in my childhood, but that's not true. I'm going to have a new view of the world. And you do have dreams which suddenly have breakthroughs and show you new beliefs being born, but quite often they reflect back upon the foundation beliefs and kind of reinforce them. So I would expect, with some people feeling potential disempowerment, that their dreams might be exploring where they've had empowerment issues in the past. And the clues to those will be looking at people and times and institutions like schools that come up as kind of symbols of those things. So there's that. But what I would then work for this, did you say this was a woman or a man, this dream, Belinda? Oh, a woman. What I'd suggest for dream alchemy here, and again, I'd get it really precise. You know, as you know from working with me, we take one dream, we spend an hour on it, we really get into it. But just on the little we've talked about there, I would suggest, again, a visualization. Now, the alchemies aren't always visualization, but they're kind of easy to describe on a podcast, so we'll stick with visualizations for here. And I would say to her, now, look, while you're awake, just close your eyes while you're awake and visualize yourself back in the dream. Only this time, instead of the eviction, you have the feeling of, in the dream she was being evicted from a hotel. So I would say, here you are in the hotel and you've got a ticket in your hand, and you look at the ticket and it says, you can stay or you can go. The choice is yours. And you look around the room, the hotel room you're in, and you think, wow, isn't that amazing? I've got everything I need in a magic suitcase, because this suitcase looks really small. It's the size of a laptop, and I can pick it up, and it's so light, and like a laptop, it's already packed. You don't actually have to do anything. But the reason it's a magic suitcase is that, as well as my laptop, it has absolutely everything I need. It has my clothes, has my money, has my ideas, has my family values, it has my dreams for the future. It has everything, but it's all in this tiny little magical suitcase that I can just pick up and leave the hotel whenever I want. Or I can decide to stay at this hotel for another 10 years if I want, because it's easy. My baggage is packed. I can open it here in this room. I can take it somewhere else and open it. And I have the ticket. And the ticket says, you can stay or you can go. So I would give something like that, and it's not saying that if in a visualization she says, okay, right, so now I can stay and this is going to magically mean that I'm not going to lose my job. It doesn't work like that. What the dreamer is doing, again, is using her particular unconscious mind's symbols, which is eviction from the hotel room and lack of empowerment, and switching that around so that she then has a feeling of empowerment deeply embedded in her unconscious mind, and she has a feeling of being prepared and of being light with no great baggage, but having everything she magically needs, that feeling embedded in her unconscious. So whether she actually keeps her job or whether she loses it straight away or whether she loses it later, she will move through that with grace, with a sense of preparedness and with a sense of empowerment. And that those qualities are worth more than having or losing the job, wouldn't you say?
Oh, look, absolutely. That alchemy is just so beautiful. The sense of freedom that it would give somebody in this situation is absolutely beautiful.
And hopefully, Belinda, everyone listening in, although we are going to do some more dreams with you, are already beginning to get the feel for how to work with their dreams and how to turn them around with the alchemy. So give me another one. Have you got more there?
Oh, yes, there's a few more, but we'll see how we go for time. So the first one is a gentleman had a dream that he was on a bus, but he was really worried that he was on the wrong one.
Oh, I love that too. And if he was here, I'd be saying to him, "Now, you know, I'd be asking him through I'd be asking him some clarification questions, even if I get tongue-tied and can't say the word." And I'd be saying, "You know, this bus that you're on in the dream, is it a feeling that it's a bus that you're normally on, or do you feel like you're on a different bus?" You know, so I would need some orientation questions myself. But let's say that, for the sake of just illustrating the dream, he's on a bus that is a normal bus that he knows. I mean, I could do this dream either way, but just as a show and tell, let's say that his dream is a bus that he's normally on, but what was his words? He doesn't know where it's going. Can you run that past me again?
He's worried he's on the wrong one.
Worried he's on the wrong bus. Okay. So I've kind of answered my own question there, haven't I? He's on a bus, but he's worried whether it's the right bus. Now, the point about worrying whether you're on the right bus is, if you're on the right bus, it takes you to the right place. And if you're on the wrong bus, it doesn't take you to where you wanted to go, to state the obvious. So he's got the feeling in his dream, the dream feeling, or the metaphor, is that the journey that he's on, or the way that he's approaching something, he's anxious about it because he thought that he was going along and doing the right things. And I'm trying to avoid saying in train because it's a bus, but I have to say in train, kind of in train for getting to the goals that he's chosen, for the destinations that he has in life, for what, you know, where he's always thought he's going. He's felt he's on the right bus, going to the right place, and all of a sudden his dream is questioning that. Well, are you? Are you on the right bus? And his word is worried. He's worried about being on the right bus. That worry is a fantastic word, because worry is one of those things that we do that only actually makes things worse. Worry is one of those dog chasing the tail kind of emotions. It's natural, it's normal, we all do it, but it's something that if you can work with worry and transmute it to a clearer understanding of what the situation is, you stop chasing the tail and you actually go somewhere. You know, worry burns up energy and gets you nowhere, whereas this bus is trying to get somewhere. So there's a sense that in his feeling of, and I presume it's related to his job, you know, I've got this job, it's a permanent job, or it's a long contract job. It's like being on a bus, going to a destination. I've always known where I'm going. I've got this job, it's given me this amount of money, it's paying my mortgage, it's doing this. This is my journey, this is my destination, it's right. And all of a sudden I'm worried that I'm on the wrong one, that this isn't the bus to be on, that it's not taking me to where I want to be. Now, I would then talk to him and say, now, is this ringing any bells? Where in your body are you feeling a bit goosebumpy? Where in your mind is a little voice going, oh, that's interesting? And he, being a unique and wonderful person, might respond in different ways. He might say, yeah, I get the feeling I'm on the wrong bus because, you know, maybe I've got that label on my back that says, we're putting you on the wrong bus, the bus out of here. You're losing your job, and he's worried about that. He may say, you know, it's really interesting you say that. I've had a permanent job. I know it inside out. I'm really good at it. I thought I was happy to stay with it for life, but I'm beginning to think, spurned on by what's happening, I'm beginning to think, maybe that's not what I want. You know, maybe even if I keep my job, maybe that's not what I want. This isn't making financial sense to me. This isn't making security sense to me. But there's a little voice in me going, yeah, but maybe I've been on the wrong bus all along. Maybe there's somewhere else I want to be. So I would need to talk to him to find out which one of those it is, you know, where this metaphor that his dreaming mind has come up, which part of his thinking and feeling and of his unconscious beliefs this is reflecting at the moment. And he would be able to fill me in on that with the goosebumps he gets, the little voice, and in listening to my voice, which he will be doing as he's listening to the podcast, he will already know which of these or another alternative it is. And added into that is a sense that if we're looking at his mindset through his dream, we're saying, you know, one of the big issues isn't actually whether you're on the right bus or not. One of the big issues actually isn't the destination or not, although you definitely should be in charge of choosing your goals in life and making decisions in alignment with that. The big issue that we're getting from looking into your mindset is that you're worried. And when you're stuck in a vortex of worry, it's actually really difficult to make good decisions. Mm. How are we going so far? What else do you see in this dream, Belinda?
Oh, that's so true. The only other thing that I really saw is very interesting comparison to the first one too, where there's a hotel and eviction and a sense of powerlessness and a bus as well, you know, where you do have no control over the direction or the route. Very similar kind of images coming up there for me.
Yeah, that's very well observed, because there's the one driver, and as you say, the route. You know, unless the driver suddenly flips, it's a set route. There's no deviation, and I guess there's that too. Yeah, that feeling that this man may be feeling at work, as you're suggesting there, that everyone's not in the same boat together, but on the same bus together. Yeah. And as you say, he's not in the driver's seat, he's not empowered by it. So we would then look and say, but maybe there's a sense of empowerment if we can, there are many things we can do here, and one is to work out a way to step out of the worry vortex and into, which is what worry does to us, it spins us in a vortex, you know, to get out of the worry and into a cooler, calmer frame of mind by which you can then maybe feel more empowered, like you say, a bit like the hotel dream, feel more empowered by looking at your options within yourself and looking at how you would feel in each situation. If I keep my job, if I lose my job, and maybe sometimes surprising yourself by discovering the choices that you really want to make. So I would be asking him these questions before giving him the alchemy, you know, if we were doing this as a real consultation, so that I would find out what he really wanted out of life and what his issues with worry, where worry comes from for him, and a lot of other things, and would be creating the alchemy visualization specifically for him so that it accurately pinpointed the flipping of the unconscious mind beliefs that need to be flipped. But for the sake of argument, what I would do there, using your feedback as well, Belinda, is say to him, okay, so, you know, you're wide awake. Let's do this dream alchemy visualization where you imagine yourself back on the bus in the dream. And you say, hang on a minute. You know, you can pull the bell or pull the buzzer or whatever different buses are equipped with to stop, to get the attention of the driver and stop the bus. So we'll have him do this empowered thing. Hang on a minute. Press the button. Bus stops. He sees himself walk up to the driver and say, where are you going? And the driver says, and he slots in there where he would really like to go in his life. The driver says, yes, I'm taking you to da-da-da-da-da. Now, that may be to the job of your dreams. It may be to a new relationship. You know, it may be anything. And he says, oh, that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you. And he either visualizes himself going back to his seat, safe in the knowledge that he has had an empowered participation in where the bus is going. And if the driver had said, oh, I'm going, you know, somewhere else, in his visualization, he could have just corrected that and said, well, I'd like you to take me to here. Or he may even prefer to do the visualization and say to the driver, can I have a go, please? Oh, thanks. And the driver says, yeah, I'm actually really tired of driving this bus. You have it. You take it wherever you like. And then he sits behind the wheel with this feeling of empowerment. And again, the sense of conscious awareness of where he would actually like to go, as in terms of goal, if he knows it, And if at this stage he's so consumed with worry that he hasn't actually got as far as identifying where he wants to go, to just have this feeling in the visualization of, I feel good, I'm behind the wheel, or the driver has taken me someplace that I really want to be, and to have a feeling like the sunshine or a feeling of happiness or whatever feeling brings up for him, that feeling of, I may not have pinpointed what it is, but I know the feeling that I want to have when I get there. And in all of these dream alchemy visualizations, it's actually really important to bring in the feeling, because just kind of doing the visualization rote isn't as powerful, as you will remember, Belinda, from when you did work with me, isn't as powerful as actually imbuing the visualization with a feeling that you want to have. And in his sense, it will be that feeling of, yes, I'm somewhere that I want to be. And, you know, what I want to be when I'm somewhere I want to be is, I want to feel happy, or I want to feel meaningful, or I want to feel like I'm fulfilling a purpose. You and I don't know what it is. I'd have to ask him to find out what it is. And we'd build this feeling into his visualization so that his unconscious mind would then take on this feeling of, okay, I know you haven't decided where you want to go yet, but I've got it. I've got it that I want to drive you to somewhere where you're going to feel all these things. And then he will suddenly notice, as he does this alchemy visualization, maybe 10 or 20 times a day for a couple of weeks, that's all, he'll suddenly notice that, oh, that's interesting. I'm not as worried as I used to be. And I'm beginning to have a feeling for where I want to take my life.
That is just so true, so true, because there's so many people out there at the moment that are really questioning their direction and where they want to go. I guess to use the same analogy, they've been on this bus for so long. They're wondering whether, you know, where one door closes, another opens, and so are starting to question about really life purpose and career goals, and considering themselves at a bit of a crossroads here for their life, about whether they now turn to something more authentic and more genuine and more real to themselves, rather than just a job, if you like, that pays the bills. So yeah, for some people, this could be a real life-turning event.
More authentic than being a passenger on a bus.
That's right. Being able to drive the bus and to get to a destination that excites them, very much so.
I love the word excites. That's so good. And that's wonderful. And I know some people listening go, yes, I've got that. And other people will be listening going, yes, but what about the money? And what about my mortgage? And, you know, but at base, this is what it's all about. It's about getting the emotions right, the mental feelings right, about addressing things that make your life, in many senses, richer, more rewarding. And even just going through, if you're listening, one little exercise you might like to do, based on what Belinda said there, is we call it a dialogue exercise, and usually it's a kind of dream alchemy that I sometimes give people instead of a visualization. But what I'm going to do is take this man's dream, because Belinda, you've said this is probably a common scenario and could feasibly be the kind of dream that many of you Brisbane people that are listening may be experiencing in your own dreams. And do a dialogue. So what you do for a dialogue is you get on your laptop or on a piece of paper with a pen, whichever feels good to you. You switch off your phones. You allow yourself 10 minutes, no more, of peace and quiet to do this dialogue exercise. You turn your thinking, logical, rational, calculating, analytical brain off. You think as a child, you have a lot of fun, and you do a dialogue with the bus driver. So what you do is you write down bus driver, and without thinking about it, you do a conversation, one sentence, turn around, bus driver says a sentence, you say a sentence, bus driver says a sentence, you say a sentence. Actually, you might even change that from the bus driver to the bus. And I would give you the opening sentence, which would be that the bus would say something like, I'm so bored with driving the same route, what about you? And then without thinking, you would then answer anything, blah, 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 for a sentence, and then you would let the bus answer, blah, 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 and you just have this silly, stupid conversation between you and the bus for 10 minutes. And what will happen is that if you've turned your analytical brain off, your unconscious mind, which knows far more about the depths of your mindset than you do, will actually spill some beans in the dialogue and give you a greater insight into what you really feel about the journey you're on at work and about the journey that you might either like to change, endorse, or whatever. So it will actually be a very insightful exercise that a lot of you might like to do. Now, Michael, who's my husband and also producer of The Dream Show, it's given me signs saying we've only got time for one more, because I talk a lot. So, Belinda, can you look down your list and choose one more?
There is, Jane Teresa. You may talk a lot, but it's very good talking.
Thank you.
Very wise words. The last one is about rain, sitting at a window, watching the rain fall. It's filling up puddles and starting to flood the streets. And the person was worried that their trips outside, the things that they'd planned to do, won't be able to happen anymore.
Oh, amongst other possibilities, the metaphor of it might rain on my parade. Oh, that's fantastic. There are so many things in that dream, and I'm going to look at some of them. And again, 10 people might have this exact dream, and each interpretation would be different. There will be some guidelines which I'm going through, but as I'm sure many of you have got now from listening in, you know, the symbols in our dreams are unique and personal to us individually. You can't go and buy a dream dictionary and look up rain, or look up bus, as we've just described, or look up hairdo, or look up hotel or eviction. You know, these are things that our own individual unconscious minds come up with to try to express the feelings and beliefs and emotions that we're processing in our dreams. So there has to be some kind of there are things that I can do by looking at a dream, and there are also things that that we can do by asking questions of the dreamer to really get closer to what their personal symbols mean. So imagine 10 of you have had this dream. Get some tips from this, because 10 of you might have had this dream, but your interpretations might be widely different. Now, having said that, one symbol that doesn't mean the same to everyone, because no symbol can, but tends to be similar for many of us, is water. And I'll explain why. Water will often come up in our dreams to represent our emotions. Now, if a person is a water engineer, then, and water comes up in her dreams, it's probably because she's dreaming about engineering or work, not her emotions. So, you know, there are cases where it's still down to personal symbolism. But because our right brain and our unconscious mind really tries to grab a kind of surrealistic feeling for what we're processing, and particularly when we're processing emotions, when we're looking at a lot of emotions, our unconscious mind will often come up with, yeah, I got it, it's water. So if you're feeling a lot of rage, your dream will often come up with anger, but it might also come up with a raging torrent of water. If you're feeling very calm, your dream just might happen to come up with calm water. If you're feeling inundated, your dream might come up with a feeling of flooding or potential flooding, which is in this dream. If you're feeling depressed and you have a kind of grey, depressing rain, a kind of rained on my parade rain like this dream, then your dreaming brain might go, yeah, rain, that's kind of like depressing, like I had all these plans, I wanted to go out, wanted to have sunshine, got rained out, depression. So water will often come up to symbolise emotions. So we look at this dream, and this person's feeling seems to be, I can't go out and do the things I wanted to do. And not only that, but there's rain accumulating, there's flooding happening here. You've got the feeling that the dream may be leading to a feeling of being flooded out, of being inundated. That the feeling, and I may be wrong here, but that the feeling may be that if this dream continues over a number of weeks unaddressed, that it may become the rising waters and that feeling of I'm in my neck up to it, you know, to play out another dream pun. I'm drowning in all this. I can't cope with it. It's washing me away. Mm-hmm. So there's that feeling. And I love the fact that in this dream too, there's that feeling in the dream of looking out the window. Now, when we look out a window, and again, it's different from everybody, but for a lot of us, we look out of a window to look at the view, obviously. Oh, let's see what's happening out there. Let's look at the view. And so quite often, but not always, a window, looking out a window in a dream might be alerting you to the particular view that you're taking of your life. So there's a sense in the stream, and again, when I'm working with a dream with a person, I take an hour, so we're really just taking a little nibble out of it here, but there's a sense with this dream that at the time of the dream, the person's viewpoint was maybe a feeling a bit depressed, maybe a feeling that their parade's being rained on, maybe a feeling of emotions that are going to build up and build up and dam up and dam up and maybe feel inundating to them. How does that sound, Belinda?
Absolutely, absolutely. And your words there about being washed out as well, not only sort of emotionally and spiritually washed out through this whole experience, but physically as well. The toll that it's taking on people, you know, being worried themselves, but also seeing all their friends and colleagues in a state of despair and worry as well. Washed out is a very good sense of the feeling. Yeah. I get out.
So if that, and that's probably true for a lot of people, and if that were your dream, which I know it isn't, you know, you might be feeling that washed in, and then you would lock in on that, and the alchemy that we would then, the dream alchemy we'll prescribe, would be specific to the way that the person, you know, the dreamer responds to the dream. So we would have to get from this woman where her connection was, you know, you were looking for her and putting yourself in her position and saying it's probably washed out. We would get her specific one before doing the alchemy. But the alchemy would probably be along the lines of, and I'm sure everyone listening has already got this now and is jumping up and down and knows this one. It's here you are. Imagine yourself back in the dream. Close your eyes. Walk over to the window. Wow, sun's shining. Simple as that. Reprogramming the dream. So I know, because I've been given the wine, that we've got to stop. But I, before I go on to thank you, Belinda, for being part of the show, I do know that as well as your blog, and I people listening in will have heard me introduce you with these addresses, but I'm just going to repeat them here. Your blog is at www.servantheartsplural.com. That's hearts plural. servantheartsplural.wordpress.com, and you also have a Facebook, so just search for Public Servant Hearts on Facebook. And I know that on your blog that you've put a link to an article that I wrote a year or two ago on the kind of dreams that you might have when you're in this kind of situation. And if you're in listening to the podcast and you'd like to know more about that, visit Belinda's blog. Go back a couple of posts. These posts would have been around the 21st of July. Find the post that she's linked to, which I'm talking about, and you would discover there on a short list that other dreams that you may be experiencing at this kind of time might involve death, which are very, very frightening dreams, and death dreams, which are normal and natural, and which are definitely not what they seem. They're about the kind of endings that you're experiencing, and about the grief of letting go. And of course, what comes after death and grief is the birth of the new. So these are actually really helpful dreams. So if you're having death dreams and you're spooked and weirded out and even more frightened to go to sleep, go and read the article, find out why you may be having death dreams. End of the world dreams, big one at the moment. I'm being consulted by so many people in this kind of situation that are dreaming massive end of the world dreams. And it's all about your feelings about the end of your personal world. And of course, really, it's about going, well, that's that phase of my life. Now I'm moving into a whole new world in a whole different way. You may be having dreams about loss of things, about being lost. We've just had that one. And amongst a whole other things, just one other to mention, you may be dreaming dreams about animals. And this is tied to times of survival. When your survival is challenged, like at times like this, we can tend to start to take very instinctive responses in life and kind of tune into our animal instincts. And some of those animal instincts are good, and some of those animal instincts are really not working well for us. And our dreaming brains can go, animal, animal, I've got the absolute best animal to describe the instinct that you're taking at the moment. So, you know, that's another brand of dream. So Belinda, although we're giving the wind up here, I'd like to give you the floor for anything else that you feel is left unsaid that you'd like to communicate here before we finish this podcast.
Oh, thank you, Jane Teresa. Just one small thing. I really just need to let all of your, well, it's not a small thing, very big thing. I really want to let all your listeners know that the history for me, getting into blogging, setting up my original Day Brightener and the Servant's Heart, all came from the inspiration from yourself, Jane Teresa, through our dream alchemy work. Honestly, the insights and the inspiration that came through the work that I did previously with Jane Teresa is really life transforming. So I really just wanted to encourage everybody to look into this if they're worried about their dreams, but also if they feel that they could use some new direction and new inspiration, to really seek Jane Teresa's help if at all possible. Tap into the dream show, read her articles, get onto the blog, and really use your dreams to take some great leaps forward.
Oh, thank you, Belinda. That wasn't what I was expecting you to say, but thank you very much.
It needed to be said.
Thank you very much. And of course, when you do go through that process, at the end of the day, it's the dreamer, like Belinda, whoever, that does the dream alchemy that actually creates a change. So, you know, you did the work too, and you've done it beautifully. Thank you so much for being on the show. And parting word from me to particularly those of you listening who are affected by this situation. I hope that this has given you some help. And I would be really interested if you want to go to my website and email me and just let me know your feelings and thoughts and any particular experiences that you've had as a result of being able to look at your dreams in a different way. Thank you so much for being on the show, Belinda. I wish you well in every aspect of your life and particularly in this wonderful work that you're doing here.
Thank you, Jane Teresa.
Well, it was fun doing a different format for the Dream Show. If you have listened to the show for a long time and you have any feedback or comments on that, please email me. I always love to hear from everybody. And also, we will still be doing the usual format most of the time, even if we do bring in a few changes. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you'd like to come, we don't actually come on the show, you stay at home and we phone you or Skype you wherever you are in the world and we record our conversation. So if you've got a dream and you'd like to be a guest on the show, and the upside of that is, of course, that you get, you know, your interpretation and your alchemy with at no cost to you in return for contributing your experience for everyone to listen to as a podcast. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please drop me an email and we'll take it from there. Just before going, I just want to reiterate Belinda's websites there. They are, the blog is www.servantharts.wordpress.com, or find her on Facebook by searching for Public Servant Hearts in Brisbane, of course. My own website's www.dream.net.au, or the blog www.janeteresa.com, or find me on Facebook too. Our next episode, the episodes come out every 4 weeks. Our next episode, episode 129, is due out on the 24th of August 2012. Have a wonderful month. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.